Years ago, one of you thought that we weren't defining terms very carefully, and I thought about that and decided to shift my lecture some and focus a little on terms. We've looked at fact, value, knowledge, religion, and the one I was going to do last Tuesday, I'll do today. What does this term suggest to you? Let's see, Greg or Jamie, one of you, I forget who did it the last time. If maybe Greg, you could do it. Help us by writing some. Let's talk a little about the term nature. Very basic to all that we're doing in the course. What is nature? Various. Okay, various life interacting or interactions. Okay, yes?
Our environment.
Okay, you have to be merciful to aging professors and project your voice a little bit. Okay, nature. What is nature? Just without too much censoring, just give some thought. Yes?
Non-human.
Okay. Nature.
The way things were before Europeans arrived.
Okay. Okay. Yes?
Original and unique.
I'm sorry? Our region?
Original.
I'm sorry.
Original and unique.
Original and unique. I'm sorry. Okay. Nature. What is it? Other thoughts? We use the term a great deal, the term nature. Yes? Human instinct.
Pure and pristine.
Good. You're getting both some definitions and some associations. I think that's helpful when you try to pin down a term or think about what a term means. There and then over here.
The way we act.
The way we act. Okay. Yours too? Okay. Nature. What is nature?
The way we don't act.
That's what's wonderful about teaching is you really get thinking together about issues. Okay. Others. What is nature? Primitive? Okay. Can all of you hear back there? Try to project a little louder. It may just be that my hearing's failing, but try to so I don't have to repeat much. Primitive, the way things were originally and so on. Okay, a few more. What is nature? Yes.
Complex.
Okay. I've asked you to give some associational terms. Those are helpful. Nature. Okay. We'll keep coming back to the term, but let me ask you a couple of other questions. Can human beings be fully comprehended or understood within the category nature? Can human beings be fully comprehended or understood within the category nature? How many of you think we can? How many of you think we can't? Okay, this sort of varies from year to year. It's interesting to... let's talk about that a little bit. How we relate to nature. Can we really comprehend ourselves fully within the category nature? Yes?
The only time we can really say that humans comprehend nature is when they have respect for it.
Okay, now I didn't say how we comprehend it, that's what we've been talking about. Can we be comprehended?
Not as comprehending nature, but can we fit into nature?
Yeah, can we be fully understood under that category? In other words, if that's the heading, and are humans simply a subheading of nature, or is that category not adequate for understanding humans? That's sort of the question.
When we are respectful of nature, is the only time.
I misunderstood that. That's when we can be fully comprehend. Okay. Okay. Way in the back and then here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you think we cannot. Okay, others, yes?
I think we can, because every animal has the ability to change its own environment. We don't assume that the same thing is just going to happen to our new degree that hasn't been seen before.
So it's a matter, we've changed it more, but it's a matter of degree, and so we still could be comprehended fully under that rubric, under that category or classification. Okay, way in the back, and then several others.
Mm-hmm. I think that we, as human beings, have souls.
You think we have a soul that's supernatural, so that would go beyond nature. There were a couple others, yes? And then, mm-hmm. Okay. We've put restrictions that exclude us, but you're not sure that's a good thing to do. Or, okay. There were a couple other hands in back. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that nature is anything apart from human culture, and I don't think that nature can explain our culture, so I would say that we cannot be fully explained by nature because of our human culture.
Okay. You would disagree with the book, for instance, we asked all the freshmen to read, Jared Diamond's book, Guns, Germs, and Steel, where he's a biological determinist and thinks basically you can explain everything by biological determinism. Here and then in the back.
Mm-hmm. I think we can be considered part of nature in the fact that our civilization will ultimately demise if we don't respect the laws of nature.
Okay, we might be in big trouble.
If our economy isn't sustainable and we don't govern it by the principles of ecology, then ultimately we will bring about our own demise like many other civilizations before us.
Okay, we won't be exempted from in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. I realize, Greg, why I'm having trouble hearing is you're making a lot of racket with that chalk. Can you write more quietly? You know, getting old is not fun. Yes, there was here. Yes. Okay. 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 A couple more here, and then there, and here.
Mm-hmm. I think in the essence of what nature is, we are part of nature, but we just think too much, so we think that maybe we are part of nature.
Okay. I sometimes think we think too much too. It can get us into a lot of trouble. There was a hand here. I missed. Oh, yes. There. Yes. Yes. Right here, Old Navy. That's what your shirt says.
When I think of nature, I think of the animals and their instincts and such. So in that way, I think we do have, as humans we do have instincts that are similar to the animal world, but we're not totally a part of it, but totally immersed in it because of the fact that we do have control over them.
We have control over the animals and so on.
Over our behavior,
okay.
Unlike animals, their behavior is more or less controlled by
us. Okay. Okay, yes?
Mm-hmm. I have a problem with one of the definitions of the word about the supernatural soul.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you cannot demonstrate it, whoever sat on the back. Secondly, even if you do demonstrate it, you cannot demonstrate that the animals and every rock, tree, and creature, as the song says, doesn't have the supernatural soul.
Okay. Later, I might ask you a question whether you can demonstrate that there's such a thing as a universe. And I guess the answer is no. We'll talk about that. I don't think you can demonstrate that there's a cosmos or a universe. We'll get back to this. That's a very interesting and helpful comment. Over here?
It seems that nature is always trying to be in some kind of equilibrium with itself by trying to use the least amount of energy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Humans seem to always try to throw themselves out of equilibrium and use the most energy as possible.
Hmm.
By being, you know, emotional, our consciousness kind of takes over and allows us to not always be in that dynamic equilibrium.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. We could go on quite a while. How many of you think it is natural for human beings to pollute the environment? How many of you think it's unnatural? Most of you aren't committing. You're learning how to play this game. Don't stick your neck out. Any thoughts on that? Yes? Okay. So nuclear waste, strewing those all around, is that natural?
That probably isn't. Nothing because humans can bring that out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
I was speaking with my father about what is natural and what is unnatural, and he made the distinction that there are chemicals which humans produce which the environment cannot break down.
Mm-hmm.
All of the chemicals that the natural environment produces, it can break down.
Okay.
We produce can't be broken.
Now, how could... Yes?
I have to agree with her, because the waste that the elephant leaves with the carbon dioxide when they use only by the trees and the...
Mm-hmm.
The chemicals can reduce the value.
Okay. Now, if that's the case... yes? Yeah. Okay, if we're fully a part of nature, then this stuff must be natural too, though, isn't it? Those chemicals are natural too, aren't they? If we're fully a part of nature, how could we create something outside of nature? Okay. Yes? Sure. And the sun is full of the stuff. I mean, the sun, it's one big nuclear reactor. Yes?
It's going to sound a bit funny, but first of all, we're not the first natural disaster that has ever existed. And you cannot, in your right mind, say that the previous natural disasters were on nature.
Mm-hmm.
They were a part of evolution, a part of the process. There have been extinctions where most of the animals were gone.
Right? Some big ones.
About pollution. I think it's natural when 6 billion people have to breathe, burn wood, and so on. You produce enough carbon dioxide, as someone said, to tip off the balance of nature. So perhaps in that way, we are like locusts, like any other ecological, you know, disbalancing factor.
Okay.
Whether it's unnatural or not, it depends on your definition of nature. Some of the definitions of nature would say that, yes, you are natural. Others would say, no, you're not.
Okay. One last comment, and then I have another question. Thank you.
I think it goes back to the Gaia hypothesis about, like, how nature balances itself out. And I think if you do something, it's only considered unnatural.
Okay. Okay. I don't want to pursue it right now. We will later, but I'm going to argue that in one sense, nature is never out of balance, that it's impossible to be out of balance in one sense. But I want to ask you another question instead of that. Are human beings more valuable than in any other part of nature? How many of you think we are? One, two, three, a few more. How many of you think we're not? Okay, let's talk about that. Yes. Okay. Yes. Sorry. Did I interrupt you there? Yeah. Okay. I don't know your name. American flag lady. It's nice to see. They would. Do you think they do? Do they think about these things?
And I think it's survival that they think about.
Yes?
Well, I agree with her. I guess the other girl said, each species is going to consider itself, we're not going to sacrifice our life for school because, everything else, we are competitive. Everything is competitive. Nothing, a bird isn't going to sacrifice its life for squirrels if it were damaging the squirrel population. That just doesn't happen. Everything's competitive.
So everything acts as if it's the most important? Yes? Okay. Okay. In fact, we might be very unuseful if we destroy the whole show with enough pollution and so on. Other thoughts? Are we more valuable than any other species, or are humans more valuable than other plants and animals? Yes? Okay. How does that make us more? It's a value judgment. Do you think is it a true value judgment? Yes? I'm sorry, I thought someone. Okay, let me do my you can retire for a little while. Let me do my famous experiment, which I'm tempted not to do till after you don't have a choice about dropping the course, because it gets some of you irritated. This is a highway, two-lane highway, going down a mountain, and there are cliffs on the sides, and you're at this point, and then when you get, and you're driving a new, well-maintained car. You've not let the brakes get too worn or anything. You've done everything right in maintaining the car. But for some reason beyond your understanding, when you get to X1, the brakes fail totally. And you can't stop the car. And you have very good vision. This is a thought experiment, so you have to stretch it a little. And when you get to point X2, you look ahead. And here on the road, on one side, is a six-month-old human baby. And on the other side, not one, but three rather sizable caterpillars, at least big enough for you to see. Or they can be rather smallish, and you can hypothesize that you have very good vision. Now, how many of you would run over the baby? Nobody. How many of you would run over the caterpillars? There are three times as many caterpillars as babies, and if a baby and a caterpillar has equal value, you're acting irrationally. Yes?
It's kind
So it's a purely pragmatic decision. Okay, let's refine the experiment, the thought experiment, just a little bit, and say that no one will know. So you're not going to get sued. How many of you would run over the baby? Sorry, they don't like your objection. Yes, you had... You're saying, so it's a kind of species preference?
Yeah.
Well, let's say that it is that. Let's frankly say that's possible. But now, since the truth of the matter is that a caterpillar and a baby are of equal value, and nobody's going to find out, why not make a bold leap for the truth and run over the baby? Wouldn't that be the rational thing to do? Because generally, it's irrational to destroy three times as much value when you could destroy one unit of value rather than three. Yes?
I was just going to say that I think it depends on your frame of reference. Like, who's giving the value? What's giving the value? Because, I mean, we can argue that we're all kind of in this competition for dominance, but valuable is like a value.
Well, who is that Forrest Gump? Value is, as intelligence is, or something as intelligence does? Sorry. Yeah, stupid. Yeah, stupid. Okay. I'm sorry. That wasn't fair. I shouldn't have interrupted. You want to finish that?
No.
Okay. Yes? Now, why do you think that? Because caterpillars presumably don't think such thoughts. At least we don't have any... you got me there. I'll backtrack a little. I've never seen a caterpillar drive a car. Yes, and then there? Mm-hmm. So, on that consideration, how many would run over the baby? Hitting the baby might slow you down a little more. Actually, if your brakes had failed, that might be good. Okay, now there's another option, incidentally. You didn't ask whether the cliffs went down or went up. If they went down, you have the option of driving off the road. How many would do that? Of just shooting over the edge into space. No, you can't go in there. The thought experiment is set up so that you can't get out of it that way. The only alternatives are to hit the caterpillars, the baby, or drive off the cliff, let's say. Yes? Nature means them to be... Really?
Butterflies lay hundreds of eggs. Not so that they can have hundreds of butterflies to play with them. They know that. Like, 99 of them are going to be lost to birds, to this, to that. Whereas humans only have one thing, because they have the chances of surviving.
Now, you say meant to be sacrificed. That troubles me. Does nature think about this and make decisions? That's very anthropomorphic language, isn't it? Okay. Okay. They're lush. Planned Parenthood might think otherwise. They Okay. Wait. There was way in back. Someone was way. Yeah. Okay. Nature does think.
Or if mammals having two babies and have
Okay, so natural selection involves the animals thinking about it and making decisions. That's true. Okay, there and then in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a very good question. It changes the thought experiment. In other words, I think in that case, some of you might come to a different decision if it was the last viable male or female of a species. I don't know if the species still could survive because of the whole bottleneck problem in the genes, but let's say it could. That would be another thought experiment. You would now be comparing a severely endangered species that would go over the edge if you hit it, the animal, over against a baby where humans are not endangered. Good point, but a somewhat different thought experiment. Yes?
Mm-hmm. You don't even have to go that far. You can just say,
okay, I'd have some questions about wanting to hit the elephant just to, for other reasons, but we could maybe make it a very, very, very little elephant. Yes? Okay, that's a good point, actually. Does evolution proceed on the basis and survival on the basis of species preference? There's not a lot of evidence, I think, for that. It's the survival of the individuals. I'm no expert on that, but at least I think we would want to raise that question. Yes? Okay.
And frankly, I mean, if you were to really be on that road right now, would you really, really think about anything? You know, think about like, okay, let's drive over the baby because the caterpillars are more important. Just put yourself on the road right there now. Would you really do that?
Hmm.
Now we have time to think, you know, time to kind of think and throw out funny stuff.
Okay. Yes? Okay, but now let's say that you had had the advantage of NR407 and you had thought about this, and this happens now a month from now, and you had really thought about this and realized that the truth is that the caterpillar is as valuable as the baby. And since there are three, you still have this option of living your life according to truth. Because the fundamental assumption here is it's irrational to destroy three times the value if you have a choice. You want to come back?
But in terms of, it may be irrational, but in terms of human instinct.
Okay, but then let me ask you a further question. I'll be just a sec. Why live according to your instincts? We often curb our instincts. You may be starving and have a desire for food, but you don't just grab food from someone off the street. You may have a strong sexual passion and you don't just grab the first man or woman you see and go to it.
But those are slow-term decisions. Like those.
Oh, but you've had a chance to think about this. I'm extending the thought experiment. And you've taken the course and and you've thought about this a lot, so now you can demonstrate the truth, right?
I can tell you right now, I wouldn't be able to remember the baby. That's just my...
Okay. Yes?
Well, you're talking about why not control our instincts. Well, we control the instincts that... We suppress the instincts that aren't useful to us as a society. It would be useful to us to save a human baby. That is an instinct that's ingrained into us, that it would be useful to preserve human life.
Okay. Yes, and then over here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Why don't we straighten the road? Since we have no choice but to go straight, why don't we straighten the road and not create a fence so we can see it far off and give a lot of time to think about NR 407 and all this stuff and all that. Okay.
Okay, that might refine it a bit. Yes, and then here. Mm-hmm. Or at least we don't always. We see the possibility of curbing our instincts, so males don't just dominate female humans because they're stronger physically. We try to curb it. Yes, and then over there. I'll come back. Yeah, okay. Right, I'm not at all convinced it is a human instinct to protect the species in some general sense. I think that the selfish gene people may be nearer the truth, that there may be more of an instinct to protect your offspring and so on. But that's a big question. Yeah, here and then wait, you haven't spoken yet. Yes, and then up front. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's conceivable for those of you who are theists that God considers us most valuable. That's certainly not an irrational belief that God somehow creates humans in such a way that they're considered most valuable. Most human beings believe something like that. They may all be wrong. Others... yes, and then in back.
I think a lot of it also comes from our where we are now in terms of our Western perspective. Because I know, I could be wrong on some of my facts about this, but the Dalai Lama was quoted as saying that he would not kill a mosquito, even if it landed on him 3 or 4 times, he would not kill it, he would just gently blow it away. So I'm wondering, if the Dalai Lama were driving on a car, what would he do?
Right, although I would like to ask him, because I think the answer would be different if, say, HIV was transmitted by mosquitoes and one landed. My suspicion is that he would kill it.
Mm-hmm. That all beings have an equal soul. There would be 3 souls versus 1 soul.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious what his reaction would be.
Sure, yes. 7-year
7-year-old woman.
Okay. 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 People like Peter Singer, whom we'll read later in the semester, think that a smart pig is more valuable than a brain-damaged infant, and clearly Hitler thought that Jews were less valuable than perhaps some other creatures and gays and so on. People have taken that position, and our society right now takes a very complex being, even a 8-9-month-old baby in utero, and says it's not valuable enough to protect. So we have quite a bit of variation on this. That's true. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm troubled again by the term meant, because that term doesn't have any meaning to me unless you're a theist of some sort. If you're an evolutionary biologist, the term meant has no meaning.
That's just the way it
is. Okay, they're okay. I'm getting in a little dig here.
If you actually have to go that far and think unhumanly that, oh, from now on I'm not going to kill anything at all.
Uh-huh.
If
you're not going to kill anything at all, you're dead. That's simple. Because you have to kill plants and certain bacteria and so on to live. Yes? Okay, and some Native Americans had sort of rituals of thanksgiving for the deer they killed, and so let me make this a little more pointed. It's a warm August evening. You're here just before school's started, and some friends come over and say, hey, let's drive out to Trumansburg and get a beer and pizza. On the way, you're going to kill a certain number of moths, you're going to possibly hit a woodchuck or other animals, you're going to kill a lot of bugs. This is just for your convenience. This has nothing to do with your survival. It's just for your fun. Is it even remotely rational to say that you really believe those creatures are as valuable as you are, and yet you do that? Or let me give you another example. I live just on the edge of Cayuga Heights over by Sigma Chi fraternity. I would say probably conservatively, it's a guess, but I think not a totally ignorant guess, there may be 1,000 squirrels easily every season killed in Cayuga Heights by cars. Now, can you even remotely imagine that even if there were 100 babies killed or children by cars, that we would drive any longer? So what I want to press you on is, do you really believe what you say you believe? I don't think you do. I think you say you believe it, but certainly either you are enormous hypocrites and enormously callous in the way you actually live, or your operational values must be quite different from your professed beliefs. Now, mind you, what I'm not saying the caterpillar has no value. I think we've made huge progress in the last 30, 40 years in terms of valuing animals, and especially sentient animals. And I think, even though I disagree with some of Peter Singer and Tom Regan and others, I think they've helped us enormously think through this issue so that we have what to me is a far better view of the web of life and the value of all of life. I think even plants and rocks and so on are valuable, and everything has some degree of inherent value. But what I'm pressing you on is, does it make sense to hold the belief that many of you seem to hold, if you have no intention at all of observing it in practice? You won't even inconvenience yourself to the extent of not driving a car and so on. And that doesn't quite make sense to me. Yes?
Okay, so your basic question is, what
Yes, although I didn't put it quite that way, because there always, of course, is the possibility that God created things so that humans are most valuable, and the Creator wanted it that way. Now, that's a less common view in our elite universities among faculty and students. It's certainly by far the most common view among the culture as a whole. People believe that. And even in other cultural milieus, very, very few people believe that humans are not more valuable than any other creature. But I'm trying to get you to think about why you would hold such a strange belief, even though I admire much of what goes into it. In other words, I think the reasons you may hold it are largely good reasons. We have been incredibly arrogant and domineering and exploitative, and I think many of us recognize that's not good. But it seems to me to try to resolve that on the basis that a human is no more valuable than any other creature, that seems to me to be a problematic move, because I don't think any of you or I intend to put that into practice. I'll come back in a minute, but you've had your hand up for a bit.
Going back to the debate question, isn't it also an option to aim the car so that you know that whatever you're aiming for will go between the tires?
The thought experiment is set up such that you can't do it. I realize that's a bit of a stretch, but you know, you might have to have 10 caterpillars or so you can't totally miss the caterpillars, and it's something like that, you know, maybe 20 caterpillars and 5 babies or something. So you just can't miss altogether. Okay. Yes? Mm-hmm. That's one theory. Freud certainly believed that God was like an overgrown superego, it's your daddy writ large, but that's certainly not the only option. Okay, but what if there really is, and what if you are most valuable? That's certainly a possibility that a very, very large number of people believe. Yeah. Well, if God creates everything in some sense, whether through evolution or however, then I guess he probably has the last say on that. I think when you design an automobile, you do have a certain power over how things function and so on. We can come back to that. Those are very, very thoughtful comments, I think, because these are really tough questions. Yes?
Keep recursing to an idea that essentially the decision depends on the environment that we're in, or to the society that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be helpful to compare our society to a society in which the person in the car, not only would his dead baby compared to hitting those characters, but if there was just one baby on the road, go for the baby and kill it. There are societies that don't value human life as much as they should have. You look at ancient Greeks, they would expose babies that were not strong enough to heat them, abandon them, or throw them down from the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Greek mythology. So perhaps our cultural values, which are not entirely non-evolutionary, as many might believe, like Richard Hawkins and others. Like, we have to think about the reasons why we are in the system. And I think that the reasons are that we assume that others are going to reciprocate, that others would not hit us who are in the place of that.
Okay, but let's refine it a little, because this is a wonderful objection. It's, I think, in using this over about 15 years, I've never heard quite that objection. And that's, again, why teaching is so much fun, because you learn as you go. Let's say it's not a baby. Let's say we're in ancient Greece, where they did sometimes expose babies. Let's say it's 30 caterpillars here and 3
eminent Greeks, maybe Socrates and, well, some people didn't like Socrates. Let's say the top aristocracy, three of them, adults. And you either, you're driving now a Mack truck. It's you got to have a little more mass. And you're either going to kill the three adults or the 30 caterpillars. So I think the issue is still the same. Yes, there are societies, and probably to some extent for reasons that aren't all that bad. And maybe in an Inuit society, traditionally, if you couldn't feed everyone, it may have made some sense that the older people wandered away and died as a way of preserving everyone. But I think you can still refine the experiment so that it works in some way for every society, because my guess is that no society that does not prohibit gratuitous harm doing to others in that group will not survive. They will simply not make it, and so we've probably, that's why I think if it ever happened, we've never heard from them. No wolf pack will survive with that kind of thinking. So it's not just humans. Yes?
And that's where we make the distinction between our perspective as a species, as that woman over there was saying, and as the perspective of ecology, the perspective of evolution. How can we say that intelligence is the end product of evolution? There are plenty of faculties that we don't possess,
sure, bats have much better radar, and exactly. But the point is, why hold a belief that you have no intention at all of taking seriously? Why hold this belief that humans are not more valuable when you have no interest or intent? You may have interest. In fact, I think I've overstated it. I wish life were such that there were no killing at all. I wish it were possible to survive without even killing bacteria and plants, because I think all killing has a certain tragic element. And when it gets to something like a mountain gorilla, for instance, it's very tragic in my view. And I don't step on caterpillars or ants just for the fun of it. These are beautiful creatures of great value. But what I'm challenging you to think about is why hold a belief that you have no intention of really paying attention to and putting into operation, and a belief which almost no human beings have ever held. You have a few groups like the Jains that will sweep off the rock before they sit down, but even they recognize that they can by no means survive without killing. Yes? No. I think everything is valuable. I think that it's very hard for me to see much value in mosquitoes when I'm on a camping trip in the HIV virus, but I have a kind of view that all of creation, all of nature, has varying degrees of value. Okay, I didn't use the term equal. I said, how many of you think humans are more valuable? So it wasn't equally. I said, how many think we are more valuable? Any? Okay. Yes. Yeah, I think if you really took it seriously, you would be almost totally paralyzed. Now, you could become a Jain and say, okay, I'll have to kill some, and this is a position I respect, but I'll kill as little as possible, but you certainly wouldn't drive around in an automobile. You certainly would be a vegetarian. You would try to live as gently as you could. I have great respect for people who do that because I think all of life is valuable, but not of equal value. I think there's
in reality, there's a kind of, as Plato and Aristotle already argued, there's a kind of great chain of being, so that I have would go to great lengths not to kill a mountain gorilla or a chimpanzee, but I don't go to great lengths. I don't refuse to wash my face. Every time I wash my face, I kill certain little creatures that live in my eyebrows and eyelashes. And I'm not going to, for the sake of those little animals, no longer wash my face or brush my teeth. You had your hand up, and then we actually have to stop. But sorry, we... You still have to eat plants. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. Again, don't draw the wrong lesson. The wrong lesson would be to think that I believe caterpillars have no value. That would be very, very far from my thinking. Thank you.